Radio Prague News. The lower house of parliament has abolished health fees introduced at the beginning of this year as part of the government's healthcare reform. The government has approved maintaining Czech forces abroad over the next 2 months. And the remaining personnel from the Czech military field hospital in Kabul have returned to Prague. The lower house of parliament on Friday abolished health fees introduced at the beginning of this year as part of the government's healthcare reform. The opposition Social Democrats and the communists, who are strictly against the fees, have found support among a few government coalition deputies who didn't take part in the vote. The decision of the lower house still needs to be approved by the Senate, which is likely to reject it. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek told journalists on Friday that the government will prepare a new proposal for the debate so that the law would be acceptable for the government coalition. Under the government's healthcare reform, Czechs have to pay 30 crowns per visit to the doctors and twice that amount per day spent in hospital. The government has approved maintaining Czech forces abroad over the period of next 2 months. The decision was made at an emergency session on Friday after the lower house of parliament rejected a proposal on the deployment of Czech troops in foreign missions in 2009. The proposal, drafted by the Czech Defence Ministry, envisaged reinforcing the country's military presence in Afghanistan and maintaining 550 servicemen in Kosovo. Although Prime Minister Topolánek offered a number of concessions, the opposition overturned the proposal with the aid of a number of independents. Under the Czech law, the government has the right to maintain Czech forces abroad for a period of 60 days. The Christian Democratic Party has called on its deputy Ludvík Hovorka, who contributed to the defeat of the government coalition in the 2 important votes in the lower house, to give up his mandate by the end of the year. Mr. Hovorka, who often voted with the opposition in the past, abstained from the vote on the health care fees and Czech troops in foreign missions. A new poll suggests Social Democratic Party would win the general election if it was held now, with a lead of about 16% on the Civic Democrats, the largest party in the governing coalition. According to the survey conducted by the STEM agency, the Social Democrats would win about 40% of the vote, while the ruling Civic Democrats would only gain about 24%. The preferences of the Social Democrats have increased by more than 5% since October. The communists came third in the poll, with more than 11% of respondents voting for them. The remaining personnel from the Czech military field hospital in Kabul returned to Prague on Friday, ending the withdrawal of the medical staff from Afghanistan that started in summer. Over the past 5 months, Czech doctors treated more than 2,000 people and performed more than 100 surgeries. The field hospital was set up in 2007 as part of NATO's peacekeeping operations in Afghanistan. And now a quick look at the weather. The weekend is expected to be overcast with rain or sleet showers and day temperatures reaching around 3 degrees Celsius. My name is Ruth Franíková and that's the end of the news.
Hi, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Thanks for joining us. In today's programme, the unusual stories that don't make the front pages in magazine. More Czech phrases via a pop song in the latest edition of Soundcheck. And later we'll be meeting Petr Mach, a close associate of President Václav Klaus and the man behind a new right-wing political party. But before that, here's Daniela Lazarova with magazine.
We may may be facing a global crisis, but things can't be all that bad when you consider that 13,000 Czechs have bought property on the moon, at least according to information made available by the Lunar Embassy in the Czech Republic, which sells the property on a lease from an American firm based in Nevada. An acre is available for 999 crowns, for which you get a certificate, an exact description of the property's location, and a copy of the Lunar Constitution, so that you know exactly what your rights are should you decide to spend a weekend there. Philip Reichardt from the Lunar Embassy started the business a few years ago and says that with the Czech Republic he's been lucky. The Lunar Embassy in Slovakia only managed to sell around 3,000 acres. We're clear Clearly, Czechs are by far the more gullible of the two nations, or else they have money to burn. At the start of December, foreigners in the Czech Republic notice an interesting phenomenon. People shopping at the supermarket pile their carts high with sugar, butter, nuts and spices, which you would expect to last them for at least 3 months. What's happening is that Czech housewives are switching to Christmas mode, a time when many of them work by day and bake by night. In most households, Christmas cookies are made from scratch, and many families bake as many as 12 different kinds. Linsa cookies, vanilla rolls, gingerbread hearts, coconut kisses, chocolate baskets, and many, many more. Throughout the 20th century, family recipes were handed down from generation to generation, often recipes which people's grandmothers learned in special schools for housewives and homemakers in the years of the First Republic. These schools were later closed down by the communists since women were supposed to go out and work and not just be homemakers. Shops sold mass-produced Christmas cookies, but the vast majority of women still prided themselves on making their own. The more kinds, the better. Baking started in late November, and each batch of cookies was carefully packed in boxes with a slice of apple to keep them moist. The endless rounds of baking kept homes smelling of Christmas spices throughout the month of December and created an atmosphere that was indelibly linked to Christmas, something that children wanted to recreate for their own kids when they grew up. Consequently, Christmas baking is one tradition that our hectic lifestyle has done little to change. Not surprisingly, Christmas cookies are now available over the internet at the click of a mouse. However, few people are willing to settle for that, and even families who buy takeaway Chinese and pizza dinners to save time all year round make a special effort to bake at least one batch of their own Christmas cookies. In fact, a poll conducted recently suggests that 80% of Czechs still bake their own cookies, and anyone who has ever tasted homemade Christmas cookies knows the reason why. The only problem with homemade Christmas cookies is that every household makes tons of them, and they're not eaten on Christmas Eve alone. They're for the family to nibble on, for visitors and friends who drop in over the holidays, and for colleagues at work. For anyone unfortunate enough to be on a diet, they're an absolute disaster. It's hard to go anywhere without getting pressed to try at least one of each, and by the end of the Christmas holidays, everyone feels like they don't want to see a Christmas cookie for another year, and the cookies have settled nicely in a spare tire around people's hips. Renata Kucherová from Ostrava has found a solution for those who are truly desperate. She sells crocheted and scented cookies. Originally, she made them for a friend who lives in the States. My friend was terribly homesick, and I knew that there was no way real cookies would survive the trip, so I decided to crochet them and then wash them in different fabric conditioners to make them smell nice, she says. Soon, her neighbors were asking for some to hang on their Christmas tree, and today she's doing a good business selling them over the internet. Christmas is undisputedly the most popular holiday of the year, with 9 out of 10 Czechs saying they look forward to the festive Christmas season. 97% of respondents said they kept at least a few of the Czech Christmas traditions, such as decorating a Christmas tree, eating fried carp and Christmas cookies, giving each other gifts and lighting an Advent wreath on 4 successive Sundays in the run-up to Christmas Eve. Although many of the old traditions are outdated, such as that of a young girl throwing a shoe over her head to find out if she is to be married in the course of the coming year, or for the family to weave a chain around their feet during the Christmas meal to keep them together, some are still quaint enough to be remembered and easy enough to perform. People still put a fish scale under their plate for good luck, pour lead into a basin of water to see what the future will bring, and slice an apple into two to see if the pips form a star, which means they will be healthy in the coming year. Increasingly, Czechs see Christmas as a time to give to charity, and many families have made a habit of helping in whatever way they can afford to. And, of course, Christmas has always been a time to remember the departed. So many families head for the graveyard to lay a wreath and light a candle on the last Sunday before Christmas. The only area where tradition is on the wane is in the cards and presents department, with fewer and fewer people sending handwritten Christmas cards and even fewer taking the time to make a gift for someone they love. Wherever you are spending Christmas, and whatever your traditions are, I hope it's a happy time and that you don't spend it alone.
Magazine was, as always, written and presented by Daniela Lazarova. Now it's time for our weekly look at the Czech language via the lyrics of pop songs. Here's this week's edition of Soundcheck with Jan Richter.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, our language series which gives you a chance to learn interesting Czech phrases through song lyrics. Today we'll hear the song Museum by the star singer-songwriter Jaromír Nohavica. It was one of the tracks on his 1993 album Mickey Mausoleum. The phrase to listen for is Noha nohu mine. Chodí se tam jen tak, co noha nohu mine, abys viděl, jak ten život plyne, jaké je to všechno pomývé živobytí. The usual form of the phrase is jít co noha nohu mine. It literally means walk as one foot passes the other. In English, you'd probably say to drag your feet. In this song, the complete verse says, Chodí se tam jen tak, co noha nohu mine. You walk around there dragging your feet. Despite the obvious fact that your feet are passing each other even when you're running, the phrase is only used to indicate a slow, even crawling motion. A ty bys chtěl po mnažbetě krokodýla, po řece Nila volat Tutanchamon, vyvat, vyvat po egyptském kraji. In his song Museum, Jaromír Nohavica, a native of Ostrava in northern Moravia, describes the hardships and daily toil of workers in Ostrava's mines and factories. Every day, he says, you take the 5:35 tram, 7 stops to work, and on Sunday you can go to the museum to check the showcase they have ready for you. In the museum, you walk around very slowly, co noha nohu mine, so that you can see properly how life flies and how vain human existence is. Chodí se tam jen tak, co noha nohu mine, abys viděl, jak ten život plyne, jaké je to všechno pomývé živobytí. To get across the same meaning, to walk very slowly, you might use one of the Czech verbs šourat se, ploužit se, or even loudat se. The latter is however used when the person is wandering around aimlessly or even reluctantly. One Czech phrase uses a peculiar metaphor, jít jako na funus, to walk as if you were going to a funeral. Yet another even says táhnout se jako smrad, literally to move as slow as a bad smell or stench. A ty bys chtěl pognat v bytě krokodýla po řece Nil a volat Tutanchamon vyvat, vyvat po egyptském kraji. V 5.35 jednou z pravidelných linek 7 zastávek do Kateřinek ukončete nástup, dveře se zavírají. Pionýrský šátek uváže si kolem krku ve Valtické, poručí si 4 deci rumu a utopelce k tomu. Na politém stole na Ubru se píše svou rýmovanou odizeu, než přijde někdo, aby šel už domů. Ale není žádné doma, jako není žádné venku, to jsou jenom slova, která obrátit se dle libosti dají. V 5.35 jednou z pravidelných linek 7 zastávek do Kateřinek ukončí ten nástup, dveře se zavírají. Možná si k tomu někdo přisedne.
Thanks, Jan. If you've just joined us, welcome to the show. You're listening to Radio Prague with myself, Ian Willoughby. In the final part of our program today, Jan Velinger meets Petr Mach, a close associate of President Václav Klaus and the man behind a new right-wing political party. That's in this edition of One on One.
In today's One on One, my guest is the economist Petr Mach, a former advisor to Czech President Václav Klaus and the head of the conservative think tank CEP, the Prague-based Center for Economics and Politics. All eyes have been on the 33-year-old since he announced recently that he and colleagues would be founding a new right-wing political party, one that would take a tougher stance on the European Union, specifically the Lisbon Treaty. The idea is also to present conservative-minded voters at home an alternative to the Civic Democratic Party, or the ODS, although specifics including the new party's name have not been revealed yet. In our interview, Mr. Mach, himself a former Civic Democrat, contends that the ODS made compromises which have led some voters and perhaps future politicians like himself to turn away. One key issue is the Lisbon Treaty.
I don't blame the ODS for not performing pure free market policies, because they had to form a coalition which was very fragile and narrow. So I don't criticize the ODS for many compromises in economic policies. But, for instance, the Lisbon Treaty was not part of the coalition agreement. So the ODS, if they wanted, they didn't have to support the Lisbon Treaty. They simply made this move, which was unnecessary, and it was their decision.
From your point of view, what is wrong with the Lisbon Treaty and the way that the European Union would function under that document?
First of all, the Lisbon Treaty is bad for the Czech Republic because it's not advantageous. The current treaties with the Nice system of qualified majority voting is better for the Czech Republic, as well as for Ireland, for instance. When we are against the Lisbon Treaty, it means that we believe that the current treaties are better. We are not arguing for leaving the EU. We simply argue that the current treaties are better than the proposed Lisbon Treaty. And our main concerns are of democracy. The Lisbon Treaty changes not only the system of voting, but it gives the EU more powers at the expense of the member states. It reduces the unanimity principle, and it gives the EU also the power to set economic or employment or social policies of the member states. Till now, this is the basic thing decided at the national level by voters in regular elections. So I don't think that the EU should set guidelines for economic policies of individual member states. The main objection is that the Lisbon Treaty is a constitutional treaty in principle. In principle, the Lisbon Treaty would make the EU a federal state.
And we saw at the EU summit that there was a willingness by European leaders to make concessions towards Ireland so that there is a repeat referendum on the Lisbon Treaty. What are your feelings about that?
It's up to Ireland whether it holds a second referendum or not. If they are satisfied by some concessions, I insist that it would be a new treaty, a treaty with these concessions. It means that it should be ratified again as a treaty including these concessions by all other countries as well, because giving someone concessions means changing the whole treaty.
Fundamentally, for somebody who is just a regular EU citizen who has watched the process from the failed constitution to the Lisbon Treaty and seen the hurdles along the way, the Netherlands, France, Ireland, what is wrong with the European Union that it can't seem to agree?
I think that the EU leaders, the elites, should learn to respect decisions by voters. They didn't respect the decision by voters in Netherlands and in France. They simply renamed the treaty and they simply decided to override the people and to pass the treaty in their parliaments. Now they don't respect the decision of the Irish people and they simply try to push it through in a second referendum and to make some concessions, and they try to claim that these concessions can be some like outside the treaty. It's ridiculous, and I think that the EU leaders should start to respect the decisions by the voters, by the people.
Coming back to the party which you're founding, a lot of pundits agree that there is room on the political right for a new party here. There have been other parties in the past, and right now the Civic Democrats really are the only party which is right of center. So there's room, but some question really how much anti-EU sentiment there is, or anti-Lisbon sentiment. How much of that is important for your party or for your party platform?
I again repeat that being against the Lisbon doesn't mean that we are anti-Europeans. We are not anti-European, and the Lisbon Treaty will not be the only topic for the new party. What we want is to establish a firm standard political party for the Czech Republic, and now the Lisbon Treaty is the biggest issue in the Czech political debate. And it's a topic which splits the ODS ideologically now. And it's also the topic which can attract more voters than just some ODS disappointed voters. So it's logical that if we have these strong attitudes towards the Lisbon Treaty and this knowledge of the Lisbon Treaty, that we stress this topic now, but we will argue also in favor of low taxation, low regulation, etc. So we won't be only an anti-Lisbon party.
It's probably getting ahead of the game a little bit, but could you foresee further cooperation with the Civic Democratic Party that was more center, more moderate in terms of the European Union than your own party?
Definitely, yes. At least by their manifesto, by their program, they are the closest party to the one I and my colleagues want to form. So there is no closer party than the Civic Democrats. So if we succeed, I assume that the Civic Democrats would be its coalition partner.
Obviously, there are European elections coming up. Then in less than 2 years' time, we'll have parliamentary elections.
Our intention is to establish the party at the beginning of January and then immediately to start campaigning for the European elections. If we succeed, it would be a signal for us that there is some demand, and we will run and we will immediately start campaigning for the national elections due June 2010.
There has been a lot of talk, of course, in recent weeks about Declan Ganley strongly behind the no vote, the successful no vote on the Lisbon Treaty in Ireland, who is now announced that he wants to have offices in different EU countries with people running against Lisbon. My question is, will you be cooperating with Declan Ganley?
Well, I am ready for such cooperation, and we share criticism of the Lisbon Treaty, but whether we will cooperate in the European election, it depends on both sides. So we are ready for such cooperation, and I would welcome being a part of this broad Libertas movement, but it depends on two sides.
Obviously, you have very close ties to the country's president, to Mr. Klaus. He's the president of the Center for Economics and Politics, which you run. How important has he been as a figure in terms of founding this new party?
Well, I announced this intention to the president some 2 weeks ago. So it was my idea, an idea of some colleagues, and I would be grateful for any advice from him, but if someone want to form a new party, it must be an autonomous decision. So I would be grateful if President Klaus would consider this new party worth of voting for or any other kind of support, but he had no special role in establishing this party.
Given the information we have from many opinion polls now, it certainly seems that the condition of the right or right-wing parties in the Czech Republic is not very good. The Civic Democrats are suffering a huge drop in voter preference. And by all indications, if the elections were held today, they would lose handily to the left. Do you think, are you confident that there's a chance to, say, revitalize the political right here before 2010?
I took a real risk, and it's a venture, but I simply felt that it's necessary to do it and to do it now. I will try to. My intention, my main concern is not only about the EU, but to change the Czech politics.
Petr Mach was talking to my colleague Jan Wellinger. That interview brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. As always, if you've got any comments, don't hesitate to share them with us. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and the address for letters, Vinohradska 12, that's Vinohradska 12, 12099 Prague. From myself, Ian Willoughby, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.